Subject,
being a friend. It's not easy. Not being a good one anyway. And we're not talking about Facebook friends. That's not really friends. Why they got that name, I don't know, but they're not friends. A friend is there when you need them. You may have had a situation before where that you've had a rough time, maybe even a monumental tragedy in your life, and they showed up. Amen. That's a friend. A person that cares about you and your situation and wants to help. A person who knows you and still loves you. Amen. That's a friend. So in here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verse 16 through 18. The Apostle Paul had a friend like that. It says in verse 16, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this particular passage in your word. Lord, I pray that tonight you would guide my words, help me to say what I should so that I can accurately give your message to your people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to die to self and to be a friend to those people that you've put in our path who are hurting. I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Onesiphorus, I don't know if you, when you look at that name, that probably doesn't look like the name you'd want to name your child. Just like all the names in Chronicles. You know, just can't hardly say them, much less understand what they mean. But this guy had some special qualities. He's not mentioned a whole lot in the Bible, but when he is, it's good. Paul, just to give you a setting of what's going on here, Paul has been arrested again, and he's in prison in Rome, and everywhere he goes, he leads people to the Lord, even in prison. In fact, especially in prison. He also makes enemies. Normally it's the Pharisees, people that don't want to have anything to do with Jesus because of their sin that they don't want to let go of. But Paul has had a bad rap, so to speak. That's what he's meaning when he says that Onesiphorus was not ashamed of his chain. Paul carried some baggage that a lot of people didn't want to have anything to do with. He's in prison here. How often do you go and visit people in prison? It's just not a fun thing to do. Even if you know who they are. Paul had... he carried a name that you either loved him or you hated him. There were a lot of people that did hate him. Obviously, he's in prison. There were many people that set out to kill him. There was one group that decided they were not going to eat or drink until they killed him. I wonder what happened to them because he escaped. But he carried a bad name for in some groups. But here he says that Onesiphorus was not ashamed of that. He wasn't ashamed to visit him in prison. He wasn't ashamed to say, I know Paul. I'm a friend of Paul. Sometimes there will be people in your life that have a bad reputation. Maybe they're trying to do right. Maybe they just recently got saved. And God's put it in His plan for you to help them in some way. Encourage them. Mentor them. Share Jesus with them. But you're concerned because you're not sure if you want to be caught, seen with them. Onesiphorus didn't let that stop him. By the way, he traveled, I believe, over 900 miles to find Paul. See what it says there in verse 17? But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. It was different back then. They didn't have GPS. They didn't have the news. They didn't have the kind of things that we have today. It's very easy for us to travel anywhere we want to go and get straight to where we're headed. I don't know how long it took him to get there. Months. Not just months, but a lot of money. He had to stay in the motel from time to time. They did have them back then. He had to buy a lot of food along the way. May have even had to buy a couple pair of shoes. So it cost him. There will be people that cost you money. Time. Because you're just trying to help them. Yeah. How much money or time have you spent sacrificing to help encourage somebody that you knew was hurting? It's not easy because hurting people hurt people. Hurting people lash out. Hurting people, they refuse your help. People that God puts in your path sometimes have issues, right? But God still blesses your efforts to be a help and an encouragement to them. That's what they're needing. Normally, people who are hurting are not necessarily pleasant to be around. Amen. They faked it long enough, but now the smile is gone and now it's a frown. They grumble. They complain. They may even lash out at you, but they need help. Amen. By the way, God blesses this. In fact, if you'll look, verse 16, the Bible says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. It doesn't say, the Lord give mercy unto Onesiphorus. Everyone in Onesiphorus' house received a blessing because he sacrificed to be a help to somebody. The people in your house also will benefit from your sacrifice to be a help to somebody. If it was actually the opposite for Achan. Remember Achan?
Yes.
Who stole the wedges of gold and the Babylonian garments. Mm-hmm. And when he got caught, Joshua said, take him outside the city and stone him. And his wife and children. That ought to make us think twice before sinning.
Amen.
Everything that we do affects our family, those that we love. Here in this particular account, it affected Onesiphorus' family in a good way. The Apostle Paul, if there was anybody in the Bible I'd want praying for me, that'd be the Apostle Paul. The second one might be Elijah. But the Apostle Paul prayed that God would give mercy to Onesiphorus' house. I believe God did. Sometimes when you reach out to help that hurting person, it may not go like you expected.
Exactly.
You're not going to walk away and them smiling and crying and so thankful that you came to be a help to them. In fact, they might be screaming at you.
That's right.
I remember a story that David Gibbs told about this. A story that he had been preaching at a church, and after the service, the pastor took him over to his house, to his farm, and he wanted to show him his hunting dogs. So proud of these hunting dogs. So he turned them out, and they're running all over the place. And during this time, the pastor had had some issues with his septic system, and the septic tank lid was off. So it was open, and the dogs are running around, and somehow one of the dogs just tripped and fell, wound up in a bad place. And so they gather around this hole, and the pastor, he takes his coat off and hands it to Brother David Gibbs. Hold this. He said, son, go get me the ladder. And David Gibbs says, you're not going down there, are you? He says, I sure am. He said, it's just a dog. And the pastor says, but I love that dog. And the son gets there and they put the ladder down in that hole. And the pastor goes down. And that dog's down there just trying to, you know, and he grabs that dog and that dog's starting to fight him.
Yeah.
Scratching at him. Bringing blood. All he was doing was just trying to save the life of the dog, and the dog was fighting back.
Yeah.
Didn't understand. Didn't know what was going on. All he knew was that he was about to drown. Couldn't get out of that hole. And that's how sometimes people are going to react when you reach out to help them.
That's right. Exactly.
They don't understand. All they know is they're drowning.
Exactly.
They insult you. They get defensive. They may even lash out with accusations. I don't know. All you're doing is trying to help them. I don't think that's what Paul did. I know he didn't. Not with Onesiphorus. Paul wasn't that type of person. But the people in your circle may be. But they still need help. When people are hurting, they need help. There will be a day when it's you.
Yes.
You don't know what to do. You don't know how to solve this problem. All you know is there's pain, there's suffering, discouragement, maybe even depression. And you don't know what to do. You can't look in any direction and see any light. And you just wish that somebody who had some compassion and some understanding and some kind words just showed up. Become that person. Be that person. By the way, sometimes it's hard to pick them out because we do tend to put on that fake smile. And people say, "How are you doing?" "Great. Fine." Yet there's turmoil inside. So sometimes it's hard to pick them out. You can't really know for sure. What we can know is that being kind is always in place. Being unselfish to reach out to that person is always in place. I would say this. Pray and ask God who you can be that friend to. Again, it isn't going to be easy. It's almost like praying for patience. It's coming. But the way it comes is not pleasant. But it's coming. So to pray for God to reveal to you who that person is in your life that you need to go to and help, encourage. That's not easy. When He puts them in your path, go there and shine the light of Jesus for them. Encourage them in some way. And that doesn't always mean that you need to go there and solve their problem. Us men are mad about that, aren't we? Let's fix this right now, today. Okay? Because this is uncomfortable for both of us. But in reality, they might just need for you to just sit there quietly. Just tell them you understand. Or that you would like to. Sometimes we can't really understand. But that you would like to, and that you'd like to be a help and an encouragement to them. Those people are around us. They're walking around us daily. Ask God to point them out to you and be a help. Be a friend like Onesiphorus. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for loving us. And Father, you are the best friend that we'll ever have. I do want to thank you for those that you have put in our life who have befriended us. Lord, I thank you for the understanding, the kindness and compassion that they gave. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us likewise to be a help and an encouragement to those that are in our circle who are hurting and need some encouragement. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.